Blog Talk Radio.
For you, God.
everyone. This is John again, and Paul is here, and we'd like to welcome you to the Lord's Hour. We've got a really good show for you tonight, and we're very excited. Ashley is not here because she's got a little too much homework. She's working on some art projects and some artwork, and she's kind of in a time crunch. Keep in mind, she's still in high school. But anyhow, Paul, are you there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep, we hear you loud and clear. Awesome.
All right.
Well, you know, let's get into, you know, just a little bit of prayer before we start. How's that sound, Paul?
Perfect. Let's do it.
I'll let you start, okay?
All right. Dear Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, we just come to you tonight in thanksgiving that we have another day and that we have you to lean on and that we have you to guide us and that we're still here and that you, Holy Spirit, you're here and protecting us through all of our trials, through all of our struggles, and that if we seek you with all of our heart and all of our soul and our mind, that you're there for us and you love us, and we thank you so much for that. We ask that you would just sustain us through all of the world's trouble, and that when the time is ready for us to go home, that we would be definitely rapture ready. We thank you so much for loving us and letting us be able to be on this show, the Lord's Hour. And we thank you for everybody who's a part of it, and Elvie and the show being run and just everything. We thank you so much, Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.
Amen. I disagree with everything my brother Paul is saying, Lord, and in Jesus' name. Holy Lord Jesus, we just ask you to, you know, flow through Paul and I and pour out your Holy Spirit and your holy fire upon us to be vessels used for your honor and your glory, and that we will draw people to you, Lord Jesus, and draw people to the Father and just do your will, Lord. And you know, our goal is to just get people to, you know, understand that their goal in life is to do the Father's will. And his will is that we go up in the rapture, where that we're not appointed to the wrath that's coming. And Lord, we're gonna glorify and honor you. And Lord, I just also ask you to, if there's anybody out there who has need of healing, has any type of need, Lord, I just ask you that you touch them, you know, pour out your spirit upon them and heal them of your infirmities, because you know, all the stripes that you bore were for our sicknesses, and you've healed us, and we just receive that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got a really good show, and, you know, we didn't make it last weekend because Paul kidnapped me and took me to Disney World. It was really fun. I've never been there before, and it was a blessing. So just want to thank Elvie and Ashley for kind of taking over, and it was a really good show. And this week we're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to touch on some current events, but the Lord kind of took me in a different direction too when I was preparing for this. So you're going to get a whole bunch of scriptures. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. You know, the first one, Paul, that I was going to discuss is in Luke chapter 17, verse 33. This
okay.
is a really interesting verse because it pertains to us who are, you know, we're waiting for the rapture, and it's a very biblical thing. And what Jesus spoke is, he said that whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I mean, Paul, doesn't that kind of sound like the folks that are believing in the rapture compared to the folks that don't believe in the rapture, and I think they're going to go through the tribulation.
First again, John, where is it? It's Luke what?
It's Luke chapter 17, verse 33. And I was just thinking about this verse. I came across it when I was studying, and he said, whosoever shall seek to save his life will lose it. So there was all the guys preparing, you know, getting their bunkers ready, getting all their guns, getting all their food, and they think they're going to make it through the tribulation, which, you know, there's a small number that do, but your chances are very slim, you know. But somebody like that is really preparing just for themselves to save their own neck. And then whoso shall lose his life shall preserve it. I was just thinking, boy, what about the people in the rapture? You know, some are called to, you know, store up some food, and, you know, which I've done at a couple places that I've been at. But, you know, it's really, to me, it's a heart issue, you know. It's just, are you here to save your own skin, or are you here to just say, Jesus, here I am. I put 100% of my faith and my trust in you.
Well, and I think that kind of has to do with losing your life is when you give your life fully to Christ and you daily give up your selfish wants and you carry the cross of Christ. And it just means that you're willing to look past what your selfish wants are and to look at what God needs for us. So I think to lose your life, I think it also pertains to just like when Jesus gave up his life, you know, I think that also has to do with it. If you're willing to sacrifice your all in all for, say, an event or just, you know, to honor God, say someone was to say, like example, at the Columbine massacre, there was a girl that one of those boys said, you know, denounce Christ, say that you don't believe in him or I'll shoot you. And she couldn't do it, so she lost her life truly for her faith. And I think that there is definitely reward and crowns in heaven definitely designed just for that act. So there's two different ways of looking at that. So anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what we're going to talk about, you know, some of the current events that are going on. But Paul, I did come across a prophecy from Glenda Lomax, and
okay.
And she did it. You know, it was done, you know, a week ago, and it was done on the 5th of January, so, you know, 2013. And, you know, what I was getting, instead of just read the prophecy, it's a real short one, but I thought it was really applicable towards, you know, towards today, to what we're going through. I was going to first read the scriptures behind it first, and then read the prophecy. The first scripture she came up with was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And then she put on James 4, 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." And the third scripture she pulled up on Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." Now, she titled this one Layers, and, you know, and if some of you have read it, you know, awesome. But I thought, you know, some maybe haven't heard it or haven't read it, and here you go. This is the prophecy. She says, "My people, the time has come that so many of you have awaited, that I have foretold in your lives. Many of you have I called to special tasks, and you have waited, being prepared. And now those of you who are prepared shall be set into position to minister to my people. There are many layers of deception and sin being promoted by the evil one at this time. You must be very diligent to avoid his deceptions at this time. You will know them if you abide in my word. He has set a trap for each of you to prevent your work for my kingdom. He desires to entrap you with sin and to keep you focused on this world and its pleasures, forgetting what lies beyond. But I desire you would walk free from earthly bondages. If you will seek me and my ways, I will deliver you from sin that you may walk with me. Your time is at hand, my children. Free yourselves quickly, that you may do the work of my kingdom and receive a great reward. How's that for cool? You know, and the thing that really struck me about this is, the enemy is trying to deceive us and trying to pull people back in. And I know one of the excuses some people use is say, well, the rapture hasn't happened yet, why? What's going on? I don't believe in it now. Well, you really can't do that because, you got to keep in mind when, last week we talked, or I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago, we talked about, so then behold, I come quickly. That was Jesus talking in Revelation 22, verse 12, and my reward is with me. He said back almost 2,000 years ago, I'm coming quickly. So he's got to, he wants us to have a heart about expecting his return. In other words, Paul, when you and I were talking, is to be rapture ready, correct?
Right, right.
And, well, and not funny. Worry about the Harold Campings of the world who've, thrown out this stuff, this particular date, and it doesn't happen. It really is irrelevant because it doesn't change the Bible.
Well, people can make a guess and say what they think, but God is the final say. I mean, they got to understand that God is God, and he, all-powerful, he does what he does, and he does it for whatever his reason is. And we can't question that, it's how he does it. And I don't know, I think it's funny because when you were just now saying, and I remembered not last week but the week before, about that conversation about he's coming soon. And the thing about it is that was how many thousands of years ago? 2,000?
I figured it was about 1,930 years ago or so, give or take.
So listen, you have to look at it this way. Jesus said that, okay? And being the God-man and knowing time frame according to God's measure, it is soon. In ours, because we don't understand, forever, and we don't understand, always has been, it just is something we can't understand. So when different eras go by and every century someone thinks that the rapture is going to take place, well, in essence, not according to our time, but God's time, it is soon. And so when you said that, I thought, once we look, we're in God's time and we're, in eternity, we will recognize that as soon because it's exactly what it is. So anyway.
Well, you said one thing, we were actually talking about this a little bit. I can't remember, it was either a few days ago or something like that. But you said that every generation has to expect the rapture. Every generation's gone through this. And I was just thinking, that was God's will, that every generation is like, this is real. And people say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, we can just touch on this really quickly, too, because it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can start in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. What happens is, and when you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17, you'll see the two words caught up. Well, those two words actually in the Greek would have read harpazo, which if it was read in the Latin would have said like rapturo, and there's another variation. That's where you get the word rapture. So just to kind of give you guys a quick handle, then we'll touch on some of the current events.
Well, rapture is just a new word is all.
What's the Latin
word? So the Bible, when it was first written, that word didn't exist in the way we use it, so that's why you won't find it in translation, because unless someone's writing a Bible in today's translation or era, you wouldn't see the word rapture, quickening or caught up.
It's a Latin word, Paul, which Latin was the primary language before, English and all the other, variational languages really came out of Latin. But just for like a quick little refresher, I'll just kind of read this for everybody. It says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep, or which are asleep. for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, or harpazo, or raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, I mean, the whole idea between the, you know, behind this rapture is a form of comfort, whether you're the generation that goes up or the generation that dies and you go up first in the resurrection, both are going to be a comfort to you, no
right.
matter what. And that's what he's trying to get to. But, we can touch on some more of this stuff, you know, when we're done, because I pulled up some, you know, different verses and some stuff that might be a little more interesting. But, you know, one thing, Paul, that we were, you know, talking about too is, you know, just, you know, I came across some stuff about the RFID chip again, you know, what that means. Because a lot of times people are going, you know, are we really in the last days? Is this it? And if you look in, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it basically tells you the signs of what the last days are. It says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times will come. You know, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And, you know, you see that in the last days. And also you go to Matthew, you know, the early part of, you know, Matthew chapter 24. You know, it's really going to talk about, you know, what to expect with all the, you know, the tribulation is going to be, you know, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, you know, in different, you know, places. And we're seeing, you know, and we did, you know, back last summer, we talked about the seven judgments that are, or the seven seals that are open. There's actually 21 judgments in Revelation, and the first seven have these seals that are opened. And the third one, it's the black horse, which is really, it's in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It talks about an economic collapse. It talks about famine. And you can look at what's going on there. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about the increase in earthquakes. You know, there have been just as many 6.0 earthquakes or greater in the last 11 years than there were in the last 100 years. If you go from 1900 to 2000, there's 285, and you go from 2001 to now, they're right about neck and neck. And that's amazing to me how much the earthquakes have just spiked in the last, you know, 11 years. But that's what Jesus told us was a sign. Another weird sign I found in the news too is there was about 1,000 dolphins that were on a full bore, you know, a group of them going full bore. And there was a boat, you know, doing some whale watching, and these dolphins got in the way. Apparently it's a very rare sight to see that sort of thing happen with, you know, dolphins going full steam ahead. Which kind of says, you know, the scientists that were kind of commenting on it, you know, probably the ones that are more, you know, Christian based are thinking that might be something to do with, you know, a precursor to an earthquake. It's kind of messing up the animal systems a little bit. You know, we've seen a lot of weird birds drop out of the sky and die. We've seen, you know, deer, you know, Michigan just drop over dead. I mean, animals have been dying all over the world. And you're seeing this, you know, fish die, these massive fish kills all over the place that just pop up out of no reason. And I'm sure they have their, you know, their ideas of what happened. But, you know, it's just another sign. And what did Jesus say? He told us to you know, in Luke 21:36, to watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come, and that will come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. So, you know, we're supposed to watch and pray for these things, so we're accounted worthy to escape all. You know, you don't just watch, you watch and you pray. So don't forget the prayer part. Now we're seeing, you know, economically, you know, a lot of companies now are cutting back hours for workers, because I guess if you work 28 hours or less, the new health care bill that has just been, you know, pretty much, you know, it's in the law now. that thing, they don't have to pay for the new health care cost if they're working 28 hours a week or less. So you got a ton of companies cutting people's work hours back to 28 hours. And then on the other flip side of the coin, you got all these layoffs going on. And that's why, you know, you look at the, you know, the right now we've got a, you know, tenuous economy at best. It's just not really solid. And I have a feeling when the rapture happens, that's going to, you know, put the thing over the edge. The other thing that's going on, like what we were talking about, the RFID chips, you know, apparently, you know, this last week, the Texas judge ruled that young 16-year-old girl in San Antonio who refused to take this, it was either a bracelet or a card she hung around her neck that had an RFID chip in it. She's like, I don't want to do that because I think it's the mark of the beast. Well, you know, the reality is you can look at that and, you know, obviously we know the mark means and a cut into your skin or something that goes into you. It's an engraving. And so obviously it's not the mark per se, but as we've been talking about, it's a precursor, you know, because we think that chip is going to be the mark. And essentially, you know, in the healthcare bill, you know, it's H.R. 3592 that was originally passed back in, you know, March 23rd of 2010. Well, that bill was actually only about 2,300 pages. The thing I knew it was open for changes, but they've actually added onto that bill. Now it's over 4,100 pages long, and they keep making it bigger. And they're adding more provisions. And, you know, the thing that you have is you've got the level 2 and level 3 implantable devices is what they call them. And that's how they get around it. They just use legalese words. And the level 2 implantable devices, things like pacemakers or, you know, pumps people might have for whether it's insulin or whatnot or some kind of implant. And then level 3 is really falls into the category of the RFID chip, which will be tracking people. So that stuff's coming, you know, and it's just about here. But they can't do anything until March 23rd. And then at that point going forward, it's really it's up to their discretion as to when they're going to start it. And I've heard different dates, and I honestly don't know. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think God's – I know Elvie said that, you know, the Lord told him that, you know, we're not going to be here when that starts getting implemented. Thank God. I don't want to be here with that nonsense. But you know, you can see that's going on. You've got all this gun control talk, and you've got, you know, obviously we talked about the earthquakes cranking up. You know, last week they just, you know, did a deal where the President of the United States can now run for a third term. You know, they've actually implemented a bill. I don't know if it was passed or not, but they're trying to get them where they can take up to five more, up a total of five terms as a president, or 20 years. And that's called the HJ Resolution 15, apparently, where they want to change the Constitution. And basically, it's, you know, stuff is changing. You know, and, you know, we know the Word of God says that, you know, the man of sin is going to, you know, change times and laws, and we're seeing it happen. And, you know, I don't know, Paul, what do you think about all this? You know, because there's a lot of news, and it's and to me it's very obvious of what the time frame is. And ultimately, you know, I thought we'd be out of here last year, and obviously we're still here. And, you know, and only God knows. You know, but the only reason we're still here is we have a work to do. Amen?
Amen. Well, you know what I liked? I was listening to not only Elvie talk about it, but then he had a guest, I guess it was a YouTube video, a woman was speaking about different things that she had been educated on with the chip and other things that are going on. And what I really enjoyed about both of them, you know, you're talking about that stuff and the government taking over and all, it's just depressing. I hate it. And, you know, I want to not hear it. But, you know, then again, you know, it's talked about in the Bible that you know, these things have to take place. And so, you know, just like Elvie said and this other woman said, you know, be excited, because when they do, then we're all the closer to our leaving. But also remember, and even Elvie was praying it, that we would be protected through. And so what he did is, instead of making everybody, and I don't want to ever do it, but make everybody get all depressed and worried and scared and all this, is that we should stand strong and firm in Jesus Christ and in God and the Holy Spirit, especially that the Holy Spirit is still here right now protecting us. If we want that, we are heirs, we are children of God, we're in the family, we're adopted in, we're grafted into the tree, we belong, that if we let that be what we know, then there really is not really any harm that should befall us. Now, if there's a choice in God's choice that, you know, something could happen to us, well, then the glory be to God in that whatever happens, because God has a plan. But mm-hmm. we could also stand firm knowing that he doesn't wish us any harm. He wants the best for us. He wants blessings upon our lives. And, I wish I knew the name of the lady who did that the other night, but it's slipping me. I know she said, and I just didn't catch it. But, you know, mm-hmm. standing firm and then actually asking for that strength and asking for that power, because we are now waiting for the assignment. We are now waiting, even Elvie said it, that we are designated. We are set forth for this actual event. We are set aside as God's people to minister, to reach right. people. We have been set aside years and years before we were born to do this for people right now at this very time. Mm-hmm. And so, well, you know, any strong Christian, anybody who's listening to the show seeking more knowledge, seeking more ability, we need to stop. We need to give God credit. We need to let God be God, give him the power, and ask him, what is my job? What am I supposed to be doing? What do you want me to do? What is your perfect will for my life? And stop being selfish. Stop living in the world. Stop being concerned about your show or your football game or whatever, and start thinking about heaven. Start thinking about eternity.
Yeah.
Thinking about what is it that we're supposed to be doing. You know, it's amazing, folks. Look at everything that's going on. You know, we can stop and we can give power to the devil if we sit and, oh, my goodness, look at all the bad things. Look at what, you know, the people in power are doing. You know, look at this is the Antichrist. This is this. And we sit and give it power. I mean, even Elvie had said it. You know, maybe a month ago or whatever, that we didn't want to give credit. And there's people,
right.
you know, put and say, oh, you owe $250 because, you know, you said the devil's name. If you're giving credit to the devil, you give him power. We don't want to do that. So what we need to do is we need to figure out, what is our job? What does God want? What is our destination? What is my holy, perfect, you know, will that God has for me, so that I can witness, so I can save that maybe one more person, or the hundreds more, or thousands more. And I think that even Elvie touched on it heavily, that you know, he thinks that he will be sought after by the powers that be and incarcerated or however, and ultimately, when events take place, then the validity is there, and that's mm-hmm. when they're going to come and say, "Oh, well, we got to stop the truth." And I think that certain right. events need to take place. I think the chip is definitely a plan, but I guarantee you right now, if they tried to do it right now, there'd be so many people who would fight it and would not accept it and would not want to do it, because they just know, and they know it's not right. But if you have a convenient disaster, California mm-hmm. or a tsunami mm-hmm. on the East Coast, if you have that, mm-hmm. then you can say, oh, mm-hmm. well, it's for the betterment of society, or we need, this is really good so that we can track your health. And, you know, if you say you get hit by a car, we can take care of you, we can do this. And it's all a facade, but really it's just a control. And it also, if it's right, like Elvie said, it's going to change your DNA. It's going to be bad. It's not going to be something... Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, John, both you and I know that when you talk about, let's just say, the evil one or whatever, you're giving them credit, mm-hmm. and I don't want to say that you're meditating, but you're thinking and giving too much power to that. And so we need to stop, and we need to start giving praise, glory, and power to God, and mm-hmm. don't worry about it. And that was another thing that the woman was talking about the other night. She was talking about a physical protection, having a gun. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But that is not the final power or the gift that we have. The gift is through God. The gift is through his power. You know, I mean, I think you were even saying it when Paul was in prison or whatever, and they prayed, and the power was given, that the angels came and unlocked, and then they were able to leave. But yet he didn't.
Yeah, the last one was Peter. You know, the people prayed for Peter, and then the angels came and took him out. And then, you know, then Peter standing outside the door, and the young lady, when she went to see who it was, she saw it was him, and everybody that was praying for him didn't believe it was her. They didn't believe her. Like, oh, that's not true. Here they just prayed for the miracle. The miracle happens. But the thing is, you know, that's the thing I liked about this, you know, this little prophecy that, you know, that Glenda Lomax said. She acknowledged that, yeah, there's layers of deception, there's sin, the evil one's trying to trap people. And we know that's what he does. That's what the whole, that's what the tribulation period is. It's a massive trapment. It traps all these people because the Holy Spirit's gone. So what do you do? You know, right now the Holy Spirit is still here. This is a whole right. different ballgame, because when he leaves, that's the game changer for everybody. Right. And that's why, you know, the one thing she said in all this, you know, her little prophecy that really, you know, stuck with me, says, if you seek me and my ways, I will deliver you from sin that you may walk with me. Since you said your time is at hand, my children, free mm-hmm. yourselves quickly that you may do the work of my kingdom and receive a great reward. In other words, she's saying, you got to spend time with me. You have to seek me. You need to have a relationship with me so I can use you, so you can be a vessel that I can use.
Amen.
And that's what we need to stay focused on. True, there is a battle. We're told to be equipped. We're put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins are girded with the truth. Your feet, you have the gospel of peace upon your feet. You have a shield of faith that you can hold up to shield yourself from the attacks of the evil one. Is, you know, his fiery darts is what the Bible calls them. That'll block them.
Yep.
And then you get your sword of spirit, which is the only offensive weapon you have. And the offensive weapon that you have is the word of God.
Mm.
And that's what we need to use. And that's why you need to study the Word of God. That's why you need to spend time in it. you know. And, you know, if some of you have really busy schedules, you can, you know, on your smartphone, all you got to do is download, you know, get an app for BibleGateway.com. And guess what? You could listen to a whole book on your way to work and back home of the Bible. If you did that every day, you're feeding your spirit, man. You're feeding your soul, your spirit. You're getting it the nutrients it needs. You're getting it truth is what you're getting it. And that's what's important in this, you know, in this world we live in, because, you know, she basically pointed out, you know, he set a trap for each one of us. Well, surprise, surprise, of course he's gonna. He doesn't want us to go to heaven. He doesn't want us to go up in the rapture. He's gonna look for any crazy excuse to get you off of that. And that's the trap you don't want to fall into. You know, you don't want to say, oh, well, this person said the rapture just happened. It didn't happen. That means nothing. You got to stick with the Word of God. The Word of God just told you it's going to happen. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. I'm coming soon. In other words, he's saying, stay rapture ready, you know. And yeah, I guess, what do you think, Paul?
Well, it's funny because the last time when we were talking, you know, I had brought up that whole point. I was trying to make a point of the what if. And, you know, what I was trying to say with the what if is, what if some of the predictions of rapture is incorrect? What if we have more time? And the point that I was trying to make is that we need to do what it is that God wants us to do with our lives and to save as many as we can while we have this grace period, while we have God saying, here we go, we have time. The thing is we never do know. I mean, only God knows when the rapture is. Even Jesus is waiting. You know, even if Larry or Elvie says, well, you know, I heard from the Lord that it you know, it's soon. Well, soon is a relative topic here, folks. I mean, soon in God's time is probably a lot more than we can anticipate. I think the warning means be ready, you know. And that was another thing was brought up, too, was that you know, again, the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 unwise, and the oil is our wisdom. The oil is God's gospel. The oil is our relationship. The oil is everything that God wants for us in our lives, and we're the vessel. We're the lamp, and we're to be a light that shines. And so if we're not fulfilling that desire of God, and that is to emulate Jesus Christ and to, you know, be the light, then we're missing the point. And then you got to wonder, well, are we ready? Are we personally ready for a rapture? Are we, or are we being the foolish virgin? And so, I mean, we got to be, we got looking at this. I mean, I guess, John, what I'm saying is that I'm kind of excited because I've also heard some people saying, well, now that 2012 was not what everybody predicted or what everybody thought, and I actually started to wonder myself back in November, I started to think to myself, well, what if these dates, well, what if this, you know, doesn't happen, then what, you know? And so I ultimately, when I talked to my dad about it, he's been a pastor for, you know, most of his adult life, and he brought a point up that I really respect, and I actually have been living, I've been living that way for a long time, but I've also looked closely at a possible rapture at any time. But the point of the matter is that we need to occupy, we need to live in this world, and we need to be God's messengers. And so when we occupy, that means that we do God's will within this life, within this world, without becoming a part of this world. So we need to be different. We need to be special. We need to be God's children. And we need to share as much and as often as we can so that we've not only done our job, but we've also helped more people to be saved. And I guess I sound like a broken record. I feel like a broken record. But it's really the message that we need to really be focusing on. We really got to take a look at what it is that God wants us to do. And so, you know, I don't know, I'm going to let you take over, but it's just, it's actually kind of exciting. I'm glad that we have this time because I really, in my heart of hearts, that I ache for the lost people, the people who are still, I mean, there's some people who are on the verge and are searching, and we could be that last seed or that last little bit of information that might click for them, that they might, you know, choose God. They might choose Jesus. And so
That's why we're still here for that. Yeah. Yeah, that's why we're still here, Paul. I completely, 100% agree with you. We are still here because not everybody's been brought into the fold and not everybody's rapture ready. And that's what we're waiting on. And some of you that have maybe thought about, you know, falling away, come on back. We don't want you to fall away. You know, to me, it's, you know, I look at this thing as, you know, to me, it's like you're on call to go away at any time, and you need to be ready. And it's not a job. You're ready by having a relationship with the Lord. But if you really want to find out what it's all about, I'm just going to read. You know, I'm actually kind of going off of my notes, not quite doing what my notes say, which happens almost every time. But let me just read all of Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 21, because it'll give you a feel for what Jesus is talking about. And I'll kind of go through this, you know, really not quickly, you know, Paul. And if you want to say something while I'm talking, just jump in and say, hit the brakes, John. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Chapter 22 in Revelation, verse 6, it says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Now, this is Jesus, you know, saying to John. And he says, now Jesus is saying in verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, you can read in, you know, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about the, you know, the seven churches, and there's only one that is really rapture ready, which is the Church of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
All the other churches aren't ready, and they're going through different trials and different issues. That would be a whole other story another time. But only one's ready, and he takes us through this entire book to show you what his wrath is. It's unfolded. And it says, in verse 8 says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this book, for the time is at hand." Listen to that. He's not saying seal this prophecy for in the future. He said, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
Right.
"He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." You know. And then Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works, according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter through the gates unto the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and those who loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice that? It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. You got to keep it in mind. Why is the bride saying, come? Well, there's a whole bunch of them in heaven. All right? And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city from the things which are written in the book. He which testify these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Now that's Jesus' last words. Surely I come quickly. And,
yeah.
Then, you know, and then John says, you know, amen. And then John says, you know, even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I mean, Paul, what do you take from reading this? He basically says, get ready. I'm coming. You know, if you're righteous, be righteous. If you're holy, be holy. If you're going to be an unjust person, well, then you can still be unjust. If you're filthy, be filthy. But guess what? You're not coming.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, some people won't even take the time to read their Bible. So if they don't study it and they don't look to gain that information or that knowledge, then when they read this, it doesn't make sense. And yet,
right.
I've read it over and over, and I gain joy and happiness from it. And it's just exciting to hear Jesus' words. And then for him to say, I mean, John, as you were reading 17,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit and the bride say, come. And I'm like, agreeing, yeah. Come on, you
can
come. Hit us.
Yeah, we're saying, come on. I know I kind of spoke when I said it's the people in heaven. It's us on earth too. We're all saying, come, Lord Jesus.
The Spirit and the bride, which is us, we say, come. It's like, Lord Jesus, we're ready. But yet, there's a part of me that doesn't want to be selfish and says, Lord, wait, I want to save more. And I know that's what Jesus is doing right now, too. He's going in front of the God the Father, and he's saying, listen, there's more that we can save. Because if it's anything like what Larry says or what Elvie says, that there is a lot of people that are lacking. There's a lot of people who are living a carnal life that are living in sin, and they're not confessing their sin, and they're carrying it. And it's over and over and over repeated in the Bible to confess your sin and to repent. That's what John was saying. Repent. He's baptizing. Repent in the name of Jesus. And it's a gift. And when you repent, I mean, it has to be a serious event, because if you say, oh, yeah, well, I believe that Jesus died and you know, I said that prayer, so I'm all taken care of, and you never do anything more, I got to question your salvation, my friend, because what you're doing then is you're making it out that Jesus has to be crucified over and over. You need to live your life according to what it is that God wants you to do, and according to what is necessary. If repentance is not done, then you're living a lie. You're living sin. You're living the way the devil wants you. And you're gaining pleasure, and you're doing what you want to do. You're not being perfect through Christ. I mean, granted, we're not perfect human beings, but through Christ we are made perfect through what it is that he did. And if we lean on that and let Jesus be that forgiveness and that perfection, that's how we end up getting raptured and becoming perfect beings, is through Christ. I mean, there's no other way that we can do it. So it's, you're kidding yourself. If you're not reading your Bible and you're not even praying, I mean, the most important thing, if they take your Bible away, Elvie was saying this, is prayer and to remember God's word and to memorize as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But it cannot take away your heart. They can't force anybody to be something that they're not. And that's the gift that God has. But the thing is if it ever got that bad, I honestly think that you know, even in the Bible it says that if it were not for the return of Christ, mankind would destroy itself, and it will destroy itself. But that Jesus is going to come back sooner and take his home to be in heaven and to be at the wedding supper. So that's what we as Christians and believers have hope in and faith in, is that God is true to his word. And if you have it in your heart and you have that in your soul, there is a peace that passes an understanding that we as human beings cannot comprehend. And that's why you got to let God be God. And you just got to, you got to just read your Bible. That's why this revelation is a blessing for a Christian to read, even though it's confusing. But the thing is it's, what's exciting is the mysteries and the secrets and the knowledge. When you study, it is revealed to you. God does give it to you. And it is amazing how much, Elvie said it too, how much the rapture verses are throughout. Not only will the New Testament give you everything that you need, but it is all over. It's in the Old Testament. It is throughout the whole Bible. And it's funny because if you really use your heart and use your mind, and as you're reading the Bible, it's so funny because you say, and I said this to you as we're reading, I'm like, that's a rapture verse, even though it's not.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Because it's the message of the gospel of salvation. So,
when Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly," to me, that's a rapture verse. But, you know, I guess what we were talking about earlier about, you know, Glenda's prophecy about, you know, and you know, the one chapter that she uses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, where she says, you know, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, you know, deceiving and being deceived. Well, you know, when you go earlier in Timothy, like I said earlier, you know, verses 1 through 5 tells you what the signs are. It tells you what the traits are going to be out there that people are going to have. And, you know, like, you know, for instance, Paul, you know, people are lovers of themselves. You know, that means they're very self-centered. They're putting themselves above anybody else. They're looking out for number one. They're worried about their appearance. They're worried about how they look. They're worried about, you know, things that are important. And, you know, and they, you know, it's just, a, it's, you know, and I, go to TV, you know. It's all over TV. It's all over the advertising we see all over. You know, take care of yourself. You need this, you know. And it just feeds that. And Jesus is the opposite. Instead of loving yourself, he wants us to, he who loses life, you know, shall preserve it. In other words, you're not number one. You're the opposite, you know. You know, you've got another trait is being covetous. You know, people are into money, cars, houses, clothes, you know, people coveting other people. You know, it's just, it's all this material wealth stuff. You've got boasters, proud, a lot of bragging going on. And people say, look at me, look at how successful I am. You got disobedient to parents. You know, people aren't disciplining their kids properly nowadays. You know, because they're afraid they might get in trouble with the authorities. It's just, you know, or it could be they don't really care, you know, because they're too important to themselves. You know, their people are unthankful. There's just not a real strong gratitude out there. Unholy basically means people are flocking to sin more. I mean, you just see the, you know, they're. You know, what God says is good, people are coveting the opposite, you know, without natural affection. I mean, that's obviously the homosexuality issues, you know, and they despise people that are good. If you're a person who's trying to live a righteous, holy life, you're going to be judged and you're going to be rebuked and you're going to be scoffed at and mocked at. So, you know, because most of the people aren't living that kind of life. You know, people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're more into, you know, playing, and whether it's sports or socializing or entertaining themselves one form or another. What Satan's done with this whole system is he's taken their eyes off of the gospel message, and they've got their eyes off of having a relationship with God, where this other stuff they think is more important than what God offers, which is nothing further from the truth. All the stuff the world offers you is garbage. It's entertainment, and it takes up your precious time that you can be spending time with the Lord and building your relationship. And then it says having a form of godliness but denying power thereof. Yeah, they go to church and they do the right things, but they don't read their Bible, like you said, Paul. They don't have any relationship with the Lord, and they think you're a weirdo. You know, if you're a, you know, quote unquote, you know,
so-called Christian, think when you follow God, pray, and read your Bible, you're a weirdo. I just think that's funny.
Well, you know, they just, you know, you're a fundamentalist. Yeah, you're a fundamentalist. You literally take the Bible seriously. It's like, well, yeah, I take my faith very seriously, and I take my walk with the Lord seriously. You know, I've been down the road where I didn't take it seriously, and things weren't very pleasant, you know,
right,
in my life. It's just, you know, now you can have peace in the midst of difficulties, and it's really, you know, it's, you know, you can have the peace of God will supersede your own personal feelings, which is what you want to shoot for, I think. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Paul? Because those are traits that we're seeing in these last days, and we're seeing them all over the place. And then I guess the question I'll put to you, Paul, is, you know, if somebody's having issues with this, how would they get out of that? How, you know, if they're too self-centered, if they're too, maybe they're just too caught up in clothes or cars or having the perfect house, how do they break that cycle?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I can't judge anybody and do that, but usually what God will do is he'll break that person. He'll cause a trial or something to happen that will possibly break them. The problem is that we as human beings would tend to be angry at God instead of to say, Lord, you know, you're trying to tell me something. What is it, you know? And it's funny because, you know, when I do talk to my family and, you know, talk about, you know, end times and all that, you know, they do think I'm an extremist or I'm extremely over the edge or whatever. But the thing is, can you be too extremely in love with Jesus or with God or the Holy Spirit? Is there such thing? I don't think so.
No,
is there such thing as seeking God too much? No, I don't think so. Is there such thing as wanting the best for your family and for yourself and for, you know, the rest of humanity? Is this a bad thing? No, I don't think so. I think it's normal. But because everybody is so now selfishly abnormal that the norm is not a norm anymore. Now I'm turning into somebody who is, I don't want to say non-existent, but just harder to find because everybody is so willing to you know, satisfy the I monster, you know, I want what I want when I want it. And they're so willing to just compromise. And they're so willing to just say, you know, I don't have time. Or, you know, the funny thing that I see is that they'll go with the Bible up to a point where then if there's one thing that is, you know, let's just say for them, is too far-fetched or it's just not agreeable with them, then it shuts them down. But it's like it should be the other way around. When you don't agree, you need to seek it and pray about it and ask God to help you figure it out so that you can look at it another way, so that your eyes can be open, because it is probably a selfish thing at that point. If you shut down your relationship with Christ or with God because you don't agree with something in the Bible, you've got a problem. And that means that you're not letting God be God. And so you need to figure out, and you need to pray about it, and you need to say, Lord, you know, I guess I don't get it. I don't understand. I want you to show me. And the funny thing is he will every time. He will. He'll give you scripture. He'll give you people in your life that will help you. He'll give you all sorts if you let him, if you seek.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, you're stuck, because it's then it's you. And at any time, and in fact, I guess the way I see it, if it's you, then you become God, even though you're not, like, saying, well, I'm God. But you do, because you step into the judgment seat. You step into the shoes of what God is doing and saying, no, I know better, and so this is how it is, because I can't accept that. Well, if you're not accepting the Bible, you're not accepting God's truth. You're not accepting God's word. So then you are becoming, even though you don't know it, you're becoming a God, because you're setting judgment. And then you're saying that you know. Well, then if you know, then how is it that your salvation is achieved if it's on your merits or your decision or your judgment? It's imperfect. Mm-hmm. It's invalid. It's not correct. It's not. God is perfect, folks. There's no going against him. If you don't let God be perfect and you try to be perfect through Christ, it just is impossible. We're dirty rags. We are nothing when it comes to an all-powerful, all-perfect God. Always has been, always will be. And it's just really hard to comprehend, and it's really hard to give God that credit for a lot of folks, because they just are so caught up, so selfish, so vain, so self-seeking, so selfish, that they're not willing to step beyond their clothing, their makeup, their things in life, their car, their iPhone.
Right.
They can't get past it. And you know the thing that is so pathetic, and I just, oh man, I'm just like surprised, but I've heard people say this, I don't know if it was scientists or whatever, but if we were to have a blackout, a brownout, whatever, where literally you lose electricity, that a lot of people would commit suicide because they don't have their technology, because they'd be scared, because they can't talk to their friends, because they can't do their this or their that. It's just crazy that the technology has come to this point. And that's why I see this whole chip thing as being the next step, you know, where instead of having a computer in front of you that you touch and you do whatever, the computer's in your head. It's in your brain. I mean, at that point, then you're not who you are anymore. You're being controlled.
Right. And that's what the goal of these leaders of the world. I read some article a while back that this is what they plan to do, which obviously is not going to happen because God's not going to let it happen.
Right.
But they think they can put, you know, electronic devices in people to control them. The whole idea behind the chip is when you don't obey them, guess what? They're just going to turn your chip off. Because that's what you use to buy and sell. So they think they can control people. You're either going to believe the way we believe or get out. You know, you're going to believe that Darwin's the only way, this creation stuff's nonsense, or we're just going to turn your chip off. You know, then they think they're going to be able to put more chips in people to control them more. So by 2030, you're going to have like a society of partially cyborg people, which is completely idiotic. Yeah, I mean... Seriously, it's not going to happen. I mean, there's no way God's going to let that happen. That's just ridiculous. And you hear some of the things that the so-called elite or those think tanks are shooting out, and it's just absurd. And, you know, so you don't have to, you hear stuff like that, and just it's like, you know, God's more powerful than anything that they have. He just isn't. And when we close this, Paul, I got to I found a psalm that basically talks about the power of God that we're going to end it on. Because we need to remember. Yeah, you were going to say something?
No, I said, okay, sounds good. Yeah, done.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, you know, so that's what we're gonna do. But you're going to say something else?
Well, you know, it's just the whole topic and the whole premise of man trying to control man through technology. It's in the Bible. You know, it talks about how the intelligence or the wisdom will be, you know, there. And the thing is that if it's a wisdom that's of the world, it's fleeting. If it's the wisdom of God, it's forever. And so you just have to choose what you want. Do you want to trust God's power, wisdom, truth, and knowledge, or which is forever, eternity, or do you want to go with man's technology and wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
And then so okay, so you go with man's technology, and all you need is a blackout, and where are you at?
Yeah, I know.
Nothing.
Right. Right.
And, just round you up and throw in a FEMA camp. You know, it'll be great.
Yeah. Just a ton of fun. Well, you know, so don't, you know, I guess that's one thing, too. You'll hear a lot of this stuff, you know, that might give you a temptation to fear, but don't fear. I mean, we can't give into that ever. And, you know, like I know in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, you know, Paul is dealing with this issue where people thought the rapture already happened, because he says in that, he says, you know, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Well, that's what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying that the rapture hasn't happened and this isn't real, and they overthrow their faith. You can't do that. You've got to rely on the Word of God. And, you know, and it's like in Zephaniah 1:15, it says, although the day of the Lord starts with the rapture, the presence of the day of the Lord is wrath, darkness, trouble, and tribulation. And, you know, what is the tribulation? It's described in 2 Thessalonians. And, you know, so obviously that's what's coming, but don't let... I think I went on a rabbit trail, didn't I?
Oh, no, it's good. I want to add to it. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. What I got from that, and this is just, as you're speaking, it was like I was being spoke to. It's the whole thing is that if you let God do what it is that he's going to do, then you have a path and you have a direction. But if you don't, then you're going to flail. You're not going to be able to do anything, and it's going to be meaningless, and you're going to wish you had listened, and you're going to wish that you had paid attention. And the thing is that's why we're here, John. That's why Elvie's here. That's why we're being used right now, so that we can bring a bit of wisdom, a bit of truth, so that but you got to do it yourself, folks. You can't listen. John, you and I talked about this. We can't just sit and say, well, the Elvies of the world, this, they talk and we listen and that's all we do. No. You have to do it for yourself. If John pulls up scripture and uses as an example, you need to write it down and you need to seek it for yourself and ask God to show you and ask the Holy Spirit to work with you. But the one thing that I've always found, and I know it to be true, is that if you want to get a message from God, or you want to speak and you want to have a direct connection, which is available and there for you through the Holy Spirit, through God, through Jesus, through a relationship, is you have to have no sin. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to repent. Because if you sin, there is a wall. The sin stops a perfect God, the Holy Spirit, from dwelling, from fellowship with you. So you have to say, I have fallen short of the glory of God. I am imperfect. Lord Jesus, forgive me. You ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you because he died on the cross. Come into my heart. I believe that you are the Savior of the world, that you came from Mary, a virgin, and that you're, design creation by God, and that you are God. And you got to believe it in your heart, and you have to take that step. And then you move forward in that, and then in your faith, you act out exactly your faith by what you do, what you say, what you think, what you read, what you do, everything. You manifest Christ in your life because you believe, because you have faith. And if you don't do these things, you got nothing. You got you. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm just trying to do it as basic as I can so people can say, you know what, I want to look at this, and I want to see what this is for me, and I want this. I want this perfection through Christ. And so that they read their Bible, so they have that relationship.
Right.
Because if God hasn't raptured us yet, then he has a plan for us to work harder. So there comes up that question, the what if. Well, the question I had was, what if he doesn't rapture us in November? Well, what if he doesn't at Christmas or Hanukkah? Or what if? And that's why I say, well, then be excited, because then we have – I'm not going to go to negative and disbelieve and all, you know, I always say, well, there's people who don't even come to the show anymore. Why would you give up? Give me a break. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a cop-out. That's like you give it up. What are you giving up on? You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something to comfort you, you know, folks, is, you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you know, in verse 3, it says basically the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know, you can have faith that the Lord will take care of you. And what you need to do is, you know, like I said, like I've done in the past, is do the repentance prayers. You know, go to, put on the full armor of God that you'll find in the fifth or sixth chapter. I think it's the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And in fact, I can turn right to it and give you the right verse. But he's equipped us to, you know, to avoid these, you know, pitfalls and some of the challenges that, yeah, it's in the sixth chapter, basically from verse 10 to verse 20. You know, read that, and that's the Christian's armor of God. It's a, you know, and that's what I do it every morning and night, you know, and I'm telling you, it works. And the other thing you really want to make sure you do too is, you know, forgive people who've done you wrong.
Exactly.
Don't hold any animosity towards, you know, someone who's, you know, maybe, you know, not been really good to you in the past, because I know we've got a lot of, you know, one of the biggest challenges is people are, you know, they're mocking and kind of making fun of us and, you know, calling you a fanatic and, you know, whatever kind of little acronyms they want to throw at you. And you know, if you get enough times, eventually it begins to hurt a little bit, but you got to forgive them no matter what. You know, if you have to forgive them, you know, 1,000 times a day, do it. You know, but you need to do it. You've got to walk in forgiveness.
You know what's exciting about that forgiveness is that, yeah, you can get hurt, you know, and you can carry that pain and you can do that, but if you forgive them, you give it to God, you give it up, and guess what? You win, because you don't carry it anymore. If you forgive somebody, you don't worry about it anymore because it's gone. So you don't have to carry it anymore. You win. And I've done it so many times. My dad taught me that one. He's like, even if you know you're right, go ahead and just say, you know what, you know, you can win. All right, you know, you got to pick your battles, you know.
Right.
If someone wants to mock you and they want to, you know, defeat you by being better than you, fine. You know, the funny thing is, if you let them win too much, it gets boring for them. They stop picking on you. You know?
Right.
It sure works all the time. And then, you know, the other day, John, I'm going to bring this one up. The other day I got someone whacked me in the back of the head, being funny, whatever. I felt like it was basically one of those things where, you know, it probably wasn't meant to hurt or whatever, but it was good enough where it ticked me off. And I turned to him and I said, listen, you do that again and I'll whack you back, you know what I mean? And I stood my ground on that one. And I'm hoping that stood firm, because there's no need for anybody to, you know, do things like that.
Right.
Would I physically get in a fisticuff or a fight? No. Would I really hit him? No. But I stood up and I said, don't do it. Because
right.
I'm not your boy, you know. I mean, and it was another Christian guy, so it was like, stop it, you know.
Yeah.
I know he thought he was funny, but it was not funny. Anyway, the point of the matter is that we need to pick our fights, and whether they have to be righteous. You have to do it for the right reason. But the forgiveness, that if you forgive, then you don't even worry about it. You don't care. The ache or the heartache or the pain that has come from it, why did that person do that to me? You know, why? I don't deserve this, you know. If you say, Lord, I forgive that person for what they did, God will take, Jesus will take it, and you'll be like, oh, great. I don't have to deal with that one anymore, you know. And what it does is it gives you strength, and it gives you power over that circumstance.
Right.
And it's just an awesome tool, folks. It's really, and I with you fully, John, forgiveness is so important. And it's funny too.
Oh, yeah.
It's so, if you're seeking God, he's going to do all these things. You're going to find him out. And you don't have to struggle, folks. You just need to seek truth. You just need to seek God and all these little trials. And it's still, our life is lessons. Our life is trials.
Right.
Our life is tests for eternity.
Right. Right.
For what? Come.
Well, your secret sins aren't a secret, you know, because that's the thing. I was talking to Paul earlier today. It kind of blows me away that if God wanted to talk and Jesus or the Holy Spirit wanted to talk to all 7 billion people at once on this planet, they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a head scratcher to me. I'm like, how do they do that? But he can. So stop trying to hide your sins. He already knows about it. That's why you need to repent about it. And what you're really saying, Paul, is like you brought up earlier, the parable of the 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the wise ones have the oil and the foolish ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe let's just quickly read that. It's only like 13 verses, Paul. I'll just read it again and maybe something else will come to you with it, because that was really good. But this is a good thing to have in remembrance. All of us need to know
Where is that parable again?
It's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Okay? It's Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And it says, then, this is Jesus speaking, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 that were foolish took their lamps with no oil with them. So they had that lamp but forgot the oil. But the wise ones took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Hey, John, let's do it this way, okay? Start over again. And what I want to do is I want to go ahead and I want to take each part of it and I want to cross-reference it to our life today. So go ahead and start
one verse at a time, okay? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
All right, the bridegroom, who is that? That's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's God. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So that means that, they basically, if you're going to go ahead and get your lamp, that's your life, and that you have to accept Christ for who he is, to even be considered a virgin, but then to take the gospel seriously would be the oil. So keep going. Go to verse 2.
Okay. Verse 2 says, and 5 of them that were wise and 5 were foolish.
Okay. So, again, in that parable, Jesus, now in this red letter, this is Jesus speaking, mind you, everyone. He's now saying, that there are Christians who are taking the gospel serious. There's five of them taking it serious, and five of them who think, well, I said the prayer, and I was taught that that's fair and fine and dandy, and I'm going to just go ahead and say that's good enough. And that's a foolish virgin. So keep going, verse 3.
Yep, that would be a once saved, always saved virgin. Anyhow, verse 3. Okay. But they that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them.
So in other words, they had their vessel, they believed in Christ, but they never had a relationship. They never stopped and took time to be friends with Jesus. They never read their Bible. They never encouraged other Christians. They never witnessed. They never gave. They never tithed. They never stored up. They never did anything to better themselves in the kingdom of God for Jesus, for Father God, or the Holy Spirit.
Sounds like they got fire insurance just in case they needed it, right?
Yep.
Okay. And the fourth verse says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Now, in other words, they read the Bible. They prayed, and not only did they memorize or learn Scripture, but they had a personal relationship. They talked to Jesus. They let God be God. They let the Holy Spirit indwell and have fellowship with them.
Mm-hmm. While the bridegroom tarried or was slow coming, they all slumbered and slept. Not some of them, but all of them slumbered and slept.
In other words, just like you have talked, John, well, the predictions of the rapture didn't come true, so it's not true. It'll never happen. There's a Christian who's asleep. Or it isn't going to happen for 30 years. It isn't going to happen for 5 years. It's people who put blinders on and don't want to see the signs, don't want to believe that it could be an any time event. It could be any moment now, folks. Why do you think Jesus said, I come soon?
Mm-hmm. Amen. And then verse 6 says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. We do bad. We do bad horn imitations, trumpet sounds. But
a rapture verse, isn't it, John? You got yourself a rapture.
You got that right. You got that right. That would be a rapture verse right there. Matthew 25, verse 6.
The midnight hour when everybody's asleep, when everybody's not looking for it, when nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody, and yet if you got that relationship, you're always prepared. You're always pondering. You're always wondering. You're always meditating. When? And you're actually excited for the return as a wonderful blessing instead of a scary event.
Right. And notice he said when it's going to happen, when they slumbered and slept. And then at midnight, when they're in their deep sleep, boom, guess what? He comes.
Right.
And then all those virgins arose in Matthew 25, verse 7. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Too late.
Yep, so they were getting ready for him.
Yeah, in my verse 6, it says, at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him. I mean, think of how exciting that will be, because we're ready. I believe in it. I'm ready. I want to go. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
Yep.
And then the people who get woke up by that, the bridegroom is here. They'll be like, it's here it is. But they don't have anything ready. So go ahead, do verse 8.
Yeah. Well, verse 7 says, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.
Yeah, well, that would be like, say, you know, we've studied our Bible, we have already sought to try to understand the rapture, when it could occur, try to understand the perfection of God through Scripture, try to understand the blessing of what Jesus did on the cross, accepting it as a truth and believing all of that, and then another Christian coming up and saying, I want all the knowledge you have. Give it to me. There's no way to do it. You can't. You have to do it for yourself, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, notice the analogy that Jesus uses, too, the one of a bride and a bridegroom. He's really talking about a time of great intimacy.
Right.
And the ones with the oil have already had a relationship. The ones that don't, you'll find out, what he says to them in verse 12. So we're going to go to verse number 9.
Mm-hmm.
But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell. Go buy for yourselves.
Well, I mean, then what they're saying is, sorry, I did my due diligence and you did nothing. But they're probably saying, hey, go try. See what you can do. Go to your pastor or go to your Bible or whatever and try to get the information and wisdom that you missed out on, or pray and try to get your relationship with Christ right. But, I mean, to be honest with you, it's too late at that point. Go ahead and do 10.
Right. And then I totally agree. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Mm.
That's the key. The door was shut. That's something LV said.
Dark.
The door is shut and people can't come in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jesus speaking right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read my version. But while they were all on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. I mean, that says it right there. That's the same type of feeling that is evoked when I hear, when I want to hear Jesus say, good job, good and faithful servant. I want Jesus to be happy with me. I want him to say, you did a good job. I want God to be blessing me and to be grateful that, he's never great. I mean, I want him to be glad, happy that I chose him. You know what I mean? That's my desire. I don't want to be outside. I want the door to be shut behind me as I walk in.
Yeah, see, when he's talking about shutting that door, it's like a bridal chamber that's being shut. And guess what? The do not disturb sign goes out. You're not going to be able to come in. It's done.
Right.
Okay? And
right.
Probably got a few big angels around there, too, that are going to make sure it's enforced. But,
yeah.
But that's what it is. And I agree with you, Paul. It's, the oil is, do you have... The oil is the Holy Spirit to me. It's listening to Jesus' voice. It's listening to the Father's voice, listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, and having that communion with Him and having that fellowship with Him. It is a time of intimacy. It's really what it is. And that's what we need to walk in with the Lord. We need to have an intimate relationship with Him. Even with all this chaos and this nonsense going on around us, we can have that relationship with the Lord. But I'll read verse.
Yeah, go ahead. There's a peace.
Yeah, yep, yeah. And there's a peace that surpasses your understanding, which means your mind's going to go, I should be stressed out, but I'm really feeling pretty good. What's wrong with this? That's when you know that God's really doing a work in you. Matthew 25, verse 11, it says, afterward came also the other virgins, the five foolish ones, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So they came to the door. They saw the do not disturb sign, and they couldn't knock on the door because obviously angels were guarding it. That's just me. But But, you know, they're saying, Lord, Lord, open the door to us.
Yeah, it's at that point, you know, the foolish people, the Christians who thought they had it all in order because they said one time, Lord, I believe, but never acted on it, never saw it, never looked for Jesus and a personal relationship, were at a loss, you know. And, I mean, basically verse 12 sums it up, you know.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I'll read it.
Okay.
But he replied, I tell you the truth. I didn't know you. Oh, my goodness. You're a Christian.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything. And you're coming to get into the wedding supper, and Jesus says to you, I didn't know you. I mean, give me a wall. I mean, I just couldn't handle it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For then there's a warning, Jesus says right here. Therefore, mm-hmm. keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Is that
where
not a warning?
The Son of Man comes. Yeah, I mean, he tells us right there, Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, you know not the day or hour when the Son of Man comes. So in other words, we don't know. The whole lesson behind this is be a wise virgin. Keep oil in your lamps. Stay prepared. Don't fall into the traps of the, you know, of the sins that we just quickly covered in Timothy, where, you know, don't be the person who's selfish, covetous, as a bolster, proud, blasphemous, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despises those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Don't be that person, but be the person that is a wise virgin who's got oil in their lamps. They've spent time with the Lord. They've had the relationship with the Lord. They read their Bible and say, oh, there is a, you know, we're not appointed to wrath. Oh, really? Where does it say that? I'll read this. And you know what? You know, we aren't appointed to wrath. That's the bottom line.
Well, if we let Jesus do what he does, and forgive, then that wrath is, you know, washed over. We don't get that wrath because it's not meant for us if we ask for forgiveness, and that ultimately the price has been paid. But if you try to do it yourself and you deny God's word, and for whatever that one reason might be, or that one thing you can't believe or whatever, that then you are building up wrath against yourself. That is, it's not anything God wants to do. It's just that he's perfect, and that there is no way to mix. It's like oil and water. There's no way to mix good and evil. And so that the wrath that's built up, it's not that God wants to smite or kill or squish or whatever. He doesn't want to do that at all. He loves every one of us. We're all a creation of his. It's
mm-hmm.
the fact that we won't go as like a child and have a faith that God is God,
mm-hmm.
and that God
right.
gave us all of this. And that's why it's so hard for so many people to make it, to keep on that narrow and small path, because it's
well,
so broad, and
yeah.
the sins are so easy and enjoyable that it's too easy just to just shut it out and not even see it and not
well,
even recognize.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple of scriptures I think are pretty good in relation to, you know, being a wise virgin. You know, in Matthew 5:14, it says, you're the light of the world. So
you
saying, ye are the light of the world. That's us. We're the light of the world. And then after that, he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, you put a city on the hill, it's going to emulate light. You can't hide that.
Mm.
And that, we're supposed to be like a city that's on a hill, that's a bright, shining beacon. How do you do that? Well, walk in righteousness and walk in holiness.
Right.
And walk in purity. You know, you walk in love. You walk in you have grace towards the other man. You walk in humility. You've got a humble heart. And, Jesus said again in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but ye shall have the light of life." So we need to let Jesus' light shine through us,
mm-hmm.
and not go into the darkness, not fall back into the things of the world, which, there's no benefit in that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was just going to say one more thing. Paul, talking about light again, in Philippians 2:15, he says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world." I mean, that's really apropos to us today. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're in a very corrupt nation right now, where people, sin is good, and walking holy is not good. You get mocked. So we are to be lights into the world, and let your light shine, which is Jesus inside of us, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, what's exciting, John,
mm-hmm.
is that if you let God and His Word and the Scripture do its job,
mm-hmm.
all we have to do is believe, and that power. See, I think a lot of pastors and prophets and teachers of the Word get proud, and they get arrogant, and they get, because they know the power of God, and they've manifest some of that power, but it's God, it's not them, and they start to become, their ministry is their ministry, it's just not God's.
Right.
And what is exciting for me is that, as we do this show, I'm not trying to be special. I'm not trying to be the oracle of all knowledge here. I'm just doing what I think God wants for me and what I'm supposed to do, and that's just share a bit, tidbits of joy, of information, of truth that people can bite onto and seek for themselves. I'm never going to say that I'm anything, because it's not what I want. I'm not seeking this, John. I do it because I seek it because I want to do God's will. But it would be a lot easier to just skip the show and not do it at all. It would be an easier road. There's a lot of things that I could do with my time than do this. But I want to do it. When LV asks, "Hey, I'm not feeling good," or whatever, "will you do it?" I'm like, "Yeah, right away, fine. Let's do it." You know what I mean? And then you got to scramble and figure out, well, what are we going to talk about? Well, listen, you talk about God. You read the Bible. You listen, John, I'm being lifted up. I'm being fed. I'm being blessed by the show, by doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm acquiring more knowledge and more strength and more of a relationship with God by doing this. And it's a blessing. And the cool thing and the power in it is that it's not me. It's God.
Right.
The whole thing. And it's just let it go. Let it flow. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's exciting. And that's really what I was just trying to say right now, is that I was feeling the Holy Spirit encouraging me and saying, you know what, good job, you're doing, just keep doing this. Keep doing this because you're helping, it's helping you. And that's why I wanted to say this now, and to folks who are listening. Listen, when you come and listen to the show, it's the same blessing I'm getting, because all it's doing is helping you. It's building your relationship. It's helping you seek truth. You know?
Yep.
And ask God for it. He'll give it to you. He'll give you the wisdom.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's just it. You know, like I've got, you know, a couple more verses relating to the light, and then I'll get into some more verses we can read. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, this is a great one. It's very encouraging. Same with the next one. I'll just kind of read them back to back, Paul. On the second one's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'll first read 1 Thessalonians, you know, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." And then Colossians says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Those are great verses, you know, because, you know, the light will always, you know, get rid of the darkness in our lives. And the light is the oil we're talking about. It's, you know, spending time reading your Bible, getting that into your system, and it's spending time with the Lord and, you know, and listening to him. You know, it's not, you know, being the drunkard or being, you know, the guy into the world. It's somebody who's actually, instead of doing that, you're spending time with the Lord. So he's not going to come as a thief in the night. It's not going to come as a surprise. You are knowing that, you know, that time is upon you. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ." And, you know, that's what he wants for all of us. He wants us to, you know, he wants to save us. He doesn't want us that any will perish, but it'll all come to repentance. And that's what it's all about, repenting.
Amen.
Amen. And here, let me, anything else you want to say, Paul?
Well, I think we're winding down, but I'm going to let you keep going. Yeah, I mean, it really does all come down to that, John, that we submit and we admit that we're not in control, and that God loves us and he has our back. He has our best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And him be in control, and then, you know, let Jesus do his job and forgive. And the grace and the mercy that's involved in that, because it lifts you up.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is all about, you know, repenting and being rapture ready. I guess it's always been about that, John. And even if you didn't recognize it, it's always been about being rapture ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what it is. Well, maybe I'm going to read Psalm 97 right now. And it's a really cool psalm, you guys, because it's about the power of God. And this is just a little bit of, you know, a little taste of, you know, what God, you know, what God will overcome anything the wicked one will throw at us. He laughs at what their plans are, because it's they're going to come to naught. But anyhow, Psalm 97 says, "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. The fire goes before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." You know, you think about, you know, Elvie says that, you know, when he comes back, the planet's totally different. Well, yeah, when Jesus comes back, it changes. You know, the hills will melt like wax. It's in verse 6, "The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Confounded be all they that serve graven images that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for righteousness, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
Awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It's just, a lot of these psalms, I like them a lot because it kind of reminds you of the Lord, and it reminds you of his promises for us. Like the next one's all about, you know, God ruling the world. And, you know, I might just read that one too because I was tempted to throw that one out there too. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." And listen to that. You know, that first verse right there has got a lot in it because, you know, who sits at his right hand? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
His holy arm could be like the Holy Spirit. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness. He hath openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a coronet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just goes to tell you, you know, the Lord's, you know, his power, his righteousness, it's never failing and never ending. He's, the thing is, and that was what this show is really about, you know, just, you know, some of you that maybe are thinking, well, you know, the rapture hasn't happened, you know, maybe this Bible stuff doesn't work. Well, it does work. It's in the scripture. We kind of covered that. And I guess my point is, you know, not to give up on that. You know, don't give up on the Lord. He's, you know, he won't give up on you. And let's just maintain our righteousness, our holiness, and walk with a spirit of repentance and walk with a repentant heart. You know, because
Amen.
You do not want to be here when this tribulation kicks off. I mean, it's going to be horrible.
Right.
You know, there's a time that's, you just read about all the destruction just in the first four seals that are open, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. It's horrible. And then the fifth seal is when the tribulation martyrs, you know, start getting killed. So people are going to be getting killed right away. You know, you don't want to go through this. You want to, you know, wash your garments in the blood of Jesus. You want to walk with the Lord. You want to get that relationship. And I don't know, what do you think, Paul?
Amen. I agree. You know, ultimately, who knows when we do our last show, John? Ultimately, who knows when Jesus comes back? But I have a feeling that when it does, as long as I'm seeking God's face and I let Jesus die on the cross for my sins and I'm seeking it with my whole heart, my soul, and my mind, that when he returns, ultimately I'll be saying, oh, well, so now this is how it ends, or this is when he's coming, and be excited and be prepared.
Yeah.
You know, again, Jesus said it many times, he's coming soon. So it's a warning to Christians to be ready, you know. Don't be lax. Be fervent. Make sure that you're seeking God with your everything, with your all, because that what God wants from you is everything that you have. And if you're not doing that, then you're living for yourself. So just don't forget that.
Well, I got two more verses I want to end this with that are really, really good. And the first one is 1 John 2:28. You know, the Lord John basically said, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And then in John, 1 John 3:1-3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now verse 3, this is the key verse. It says, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." And, you know, what's it saying right there? It's saying that this hope that's in you of us being transformed from this corruptible body to an incorruptible body, from mortality to immortality, to becoming like, you get your transformed body, you know, the way Jesus is. That hope in you should purify you, even as Jesus is pure. And that's what our hope should be. And just, you know, there's a crown of glory. I mean, 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that shall not fade away." That's what we have. That's what's coming. Keep your faith in Jesus. Keep your focus on him. No matter how dark the world gets, you will have peace, because that peace will surpass all understanding to them that keep their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen. God bless everyone.
God bless everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.